Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh and movement watches.
Oh my God,
and sunglasses.
It's a double adder.
Oh, I love it.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, the Weekly Planet.
I should change that theme song. Every time I hear it,
it's too rude.
It's so rude.
It's a bit rude, isn't it?
I mean, it's a show sometimes for rude boys.
That's true.
And girls.
Some episodes are ruder than others.
That's certainly true. Mm. Yeah.
Maybe we should pivot to being more rude.
Just lead into it.
Yeah.
That's probably right, yeah.
Or we do like a bonus episode a month.
Just rude stuff.
Yeah, the Weekly Planet Rude Edition.
I love it.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome back to this episode of The Weekly Planet, a show where we talk movies and comics and TV shows.
Clean edition.
Clean edition. No rude stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me as always is my co-host, Nick Mason.
And then what we have to challenge ourselves. We can only say rude stuff in the rude episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
This theme song is your fault though as well. I would not begrudge Gabriel Tice Bruton who put the theme together.
The Bruce.
But it was your initial... You said red hot comic book movie news shooting up your butthole. That's what you said.
Yeah. And I've not had to live with the consequences of that ever again because I don't hear the theme song because you put it in yeah. silence and I also don't listen back to the episodes
yeah.
or edit it in. So I've never had to.
But now because I'm hearing it every week before the show because I'm putting them in on the fly.
It's getting in your brain?
I just don't.
Yeah. Okay, well, how about this? We develop a clean version, like a new clean theme, and then that is just transferred to the root edition. So you know you're going to get some rude stuff when the rude edition music plays. You know what I mean?
Good point.
And it goes red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole, the Weekly Planet, big fart noise, bong rip noise. Then we know it's rude.
We know it's rude, yeah. Anyways, Mason, you're on a podcast this week, I believe, a podcast I couldn't make.
The Weekly Planet Clean Edition.
No, the other
thing. Also, I was on Josh Earl's podcast, Don't You Know Who I Am?
Yes.
Where we tell delightful stories about our lives. Mm. It was myself and comedians Lauren Bonner, Carla Willis, and Tim Clark, good friend of mine.
What a crew!
Very, very funny crew, extremely funny crew. You should listen to that. It's at planetbroadcasting.com or on Spotify, wherever you get it. Also, Josh Earl, if you're in Melbourne...
Josh Earl, if you're listening and you're in Melbourne...
then you, Josh, are doing a series of live Don't You Know Who I Am's at the Catfish in Fitzroy.
Ah, oh, terrific.
Sundays at 3 p.m, November 3rd to December 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets at joshearl.com.au. I'd recommend going to those for a number of reasons. One, the Catfish has great cheesesteaks and great mozzarella sticks.
Right.
And also because if you go to a live Don't You Know Who I Am, there's always... A story that has to be cut out for legal reasons.
Yes.
It's always somebody is getting paid out, like probably a big name that nobody likes in real life, and Josh will probably get sued if the story gets out there. So he always has to cut it out.
Yes.
But if you're there live, you know that story.
And it's always Husey.
It's almost always Husey.
No, apparently he's very nice, isn't he?
Yeah, I've met him a couple of times.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on with the show. If you want to skip to a certain thing, there's time codes or whatever. If you want to jump straight to Gemini Man or jump over Gemini Man,
it's
probably more likely. That's that's below.
If you just want to drink in the glory that is Gemini Man.
Come along. Anyway, the Suicide Squad, it started filming and there's been some on-set photos that have made their way online by just Jared. that website. You've seen him. There's always getting photos of stuff.
I remember just Jared from back in the day, but apparently it's still around.
Yeah.
Is Perez Hilton still around?
He's still doing it.
Okay.
Probably starting feuds with Will.i.am or whatever he used to do.
Drawing dicks on their faces?
Yeah. And didn't Will.i.am's security guard punch him or something? And then he went on Twitter and told people to call the police or something.
Oh, okay. This is some old school drama. All right, yeah, nice.
So, look, this is one of those things I probably have to cut out for legal reasons.
Well, I was going to say he should have saved it for Perez Hilton Root Edition.
Yes, you know that's right. Yeah.
Anyway. There should have been Perez Hilton Clean Edition, which is just like, this celebrity went down to the shops and nothing untoward happened.
Everything's nice. Everyone was nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we had a scoop a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Dozens of weeks.
We measure our podcast by the number of wees we've done.
But when we talked about some casting rumours concerning the Suicide Squad, it turns out that thing that we just took a complete punt at, somebody who sent it anonymously,
seems to be mostly accurate.
Mostly true.
We don't know at this point if Idris Elba is Vigilante because he's not in those leaked photos.
Yes.
But we do know that who do we have there?
Fall Off Boy.
Nathan Fillion is Arm Fall Off Boy, which maybe we didn't bring across like the full gravity of that. Like it didn't sink in but that's it. What an insane character choice.
Of course they're going to do that though. They've got Weasel there as well. Sean Gunn is Weasel.
Yeah,
sorry, I tried to skip over it again.
Oh,
I didn't
my
mean
goodness.
To, yeah.
But I think like, because that, what I think is interesting about that character is that he is, in the comic books, he's a member of the Legion of Superheroes from the 31st century, which makes me wonder, is that part of his backstory in this? And if it is it true?
Oh, okay,
like,
right,
is he a member of the Legion, you know, a thousand years in the future, or is he an insane man?
Well,
what about this guy is real, I wonder?
Well, how long do you think he's going to live? How long do you think any of these
seconds.
Guys... these were
a Javelin in there? Who's playing Javelin? Some guy.
I can't remember. Yeah. Some guy.
Yeah, some
Pete
guy.
Davidson, maybe?
No, Pete Davidson's the other guy.
Okay, oh, the other guy, yeah.
The third
I know
guy.
We read out the list, but I can't remember who's who. Sean Gunn looks like he is Weasel because he's in a mocap suit. That was one of the things that was mentioned as well. Captain Boomerang's there. It looks like a blend of the comic book and the last one. He's a bit cleaned up. He's got the boomerangs on the chest.
Yeah, right.
So
you
can tell he's Captain Boomerang.
That's nice.
And this one, I'd imagine Captain Boomerang's probably going to live through the first bit. One of those people is going to live through, right?
Yeah, right.
I feel like that's like the disposable team.
Yeah, but I feel like Nathan Fillion also would take a job from James Gunn that's like, you're in this for 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's what he did for Guardians.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're a weird CGI monster and Groot puts his fingers up your nose or whatever. That's what happens to him in that
that's
movie.
That's right.
Yeah. There's also Mongol. Again, I don't know
what's
going on there.
And
exactly.
It's Lady Mongol.
Lady Mongol, yeah. So anyway, that's it's interesting that the costumes are very, they look kind of CW-esque.
They do, yeah. Which makes me think. But again, like, you know, set photos don't reflect. Once you add CGI and lighting and et cetera.
It's like the red tornado from Supergirl. That turned out really good in the end, didn't it?
Did it?
That was a bad one.
Okay, nice.
Sometimes they're bad.
Okay, so we got here. Yeah, so we got Sean Gunn Weasel. Mm-hmm. Flulaborg is Javelin. Michael Rooker Savant. Mei Ling is Mongol.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Davidson is Blackguard.
Okay.
Is that way. Okay.
I have no idea who that is.
Generic army guy, it looks like.
Great.
Let's look up Blackguard.
No.
Oh, what?
All right, we'll look it up.
Heads up, his real name is Richard Hertz, so that's pretty good.
H-U-R-T-Z?
H-E-R-T-Z, yeah, like the rental
car
company.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Recruited by the 1,000, I don't know who that is, and given powers... okay, looks like he's a Booster Gold villain, so he's going to die pretty soon. Blackguard's armor allows him to generate a Mason shield out of pure energy. I don't think it's this version of Blackguard.
No, you never know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so he's got Green Lantern-esque or
seems
more...
Seems to be, yeah.
Well, he's probably got Booster Gold equivalent, like, technology powers,
maybe.
I'd imagine.
Yes.
Great. That means, I guess, Booster Gold's in this universe, I guess. But then again, sometimes they have villains in a universe minus... Anyway, we'll talk more about that. Yeah.
We're getting a version of Mongol that is apparently, you know, who can, tangle with Superman in the DC comics. Whereas in this, she is on the Suicide Squad team.
Sometimes they got like a superpowered crazy one or whatever.
Okay,
yeah. Anyway, Mason, trailers ahoy, because we've got three super hot, piping hot trailers. Watch out for those rocks. Watch out for these hits, Mason.
Oh yeah, okay.
Jungle Cruise, coming out mid next year. The Rock and Emily Blunt. Looks like The Mummy.
Yeah, it really does. It's got the scene in the library.
Yep.
A bit of an action sequence in a library.
Swashbuckling cargo pants.
Yep, that's right. It's The Rock in a
tan jackets.
Tan jackets. He's in a beige outfit. They've really squeezed him into that boat captain outfit, haven't they?
They have. This was supposed to be, I remember there was rumors or casting stories years back that this was going to be Tim Allen and Tom Hanks.
Okay.
It's probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I think it was just those two.
Well, it'd be Tom Hanks would be the librarian.
I'd assume so.
And then Tim Allen would be the...
But what if they weren't, though?
Oh, my God.
What if they were both a librarian?
Oh, my God.
And they kissed.
And the tugboat is animated.
Yeah, that's
and right. Homophobic.
Early days Disney.
Get out of here. Get off my poop deck.
So this really isn't for me, this, but it looks like a fun kind of...
So is this based on a ride? Is there a Disney Jungle
Cruise? Or like a... It might even be like a whole area of Disney. Oh, okay, I'm not the guy.
Okay, right.
I'm not the theme park guy. But I think it's one of the biggest sets ever constructed. Do you remember that video? They were like, check out how big this set is. And then the drone pulls out and it's like...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like 1,000 feet across or whatever it is. Maybe. It's enormous. It's enormous, Mason.
Goodness. Is it ginormous?
No.
Okay.
I would never...
Is it Jai Courtney enormous?
How big is he these days?
Well, that's my measure of Jai Courtney's star power.
Oh, okay. It's bigger than Jai Courtney's star power.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Right. I like him.
Yeah, me too.
But he's the Jungle Cruise movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I'd imagine this could be like a Jumanji-esque kind of hit.
Yeah.
I can see this doing well.
Well, that's what he's leaning into. I think maybe The Rock's future is just they put him on a boat in a tan shirt and they sail him down a river and they just film what happens.
Yeah.
And then they cut it into several movies.
And Fast and Furious spinoffs. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Though he might be coming back for the next one, it seems. He might have... squished his beef.
Oh, he's, wow.
As they say.
That's absolutely what they say. That's what Perez Hilton would be like. Squish We've got an exclusive beef. Video of The Rock squishing his beef.
He's the kind of guy, and it was the same with Arnold, where you cannot believe the size of him. Like, he's a tugboat captain.
Uh-huh.
And he works out 7 hours a day.
Apparently,
and he eats 14 chickens a day.
But also, like, I feel like back in the day, there would just be an enormous man. You know, in every generation, there's one enormous man.
Yeah, you're right. He's probably not going to be shirt off The Rock in this. So he's just an enormous man who's big, but maybe you don't know how ripped he is.
Yeah. But we recently did, I don't think it's out yet, but we recently did a Caravan of Garbage where we watched a movie with a much younger
The Rock. Oh, The Rock, yeah.
And he's significantly
Which, by the way, we have to delay.
Oh, do we?
It's Doom. Doom got delayed.
I could the release got
next March. Yeah.
Did you know Cyberpunk 2077 isn't coming out till next year?
Yeah, it's next year. Yeah.
It's like
the only thing you want in the world.
It's April 2020 or something.
It's the only thing you want in the world.
I know.
Mason.
It looks great.
Yeah,
it looks good. Mm.
So anyway, The Rock in that, he's looks quite different.
Yeah,
size wise and hair wise.
Yeah, like it. Carl Urban seems physically a match for him sometimes.
Yeah.
At certain angles.
Yes, that's right, and certain. Abilities that you were bestowed in that.
It's a bad movie. It's a terrible movie. It's one of the worst. Way worse than I remember it being.
I was really looking forward to just pushing that out in the universe and never thinking about it.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to have to hang on to that for 6 months.
It's going
to
sit in your My Files on your computer. Every time you turn your computer on, you'll be like,
it's just taking up space.
And I just, you know, sometimes you've got a checklist and you're like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed by all this stuff I got to check off. You're just going to be like, oh, can I just release it and then I can check it off?
2005, yeah. I got to cash in on that SEO.
I can't release it yet. That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, another trailer for Pixar's My Dad Is Just Legs and We're Elves or something.
A little bit Weekend at Bernie's. What's this one called again? Onward.
My Dad Is Just Legs.
My Dad Is Just Legs.
And We're Elves or something.
On an Adventure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Onward. Do you say Onward?
It's Onward, yes.
Chris Pratt.
Yep. Tom Holland.
Some legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably Bryan Cranston is the voice of the legs.
Do you think it's Bryan Cranston? Okay.
When he gets the rest of the body.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. It'll be somebody like that.
Yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's 60.
There you go.
Amazing. She's crushing it. Yeah. I got to finish Veep. I'm like halfway through the first season. And
it's good show.
Yeah, I know, Mason.
Add it to your list.
Anyway, she's in my,
Upload the Doom video and watch Veep.
So My Dad's Just Legs. I saw the first trailer for this and I'm like, okay, so it's bright but animated.
Yeah.
But this is like, okay, there's a wrinkle in this. I should have realized that.
Yeah, it's in the dad slacks.
The dad slacks. Because these Pixar movies, they're heart-wrenching and about family and twist on things and whatever. And what if you could see your dad for one more day?
And he's just legs.
He's just legs.
Yeah.
But do you think they're going to get the rest of him back?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he's like, my legs, I'm not attached. You built me separately from my legs.
Oh, you think the magic will bring him back in two pieces?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And his guts will try and join together in the middle.
And he just bleeds out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good to see you, Dad.
Yeah. Anyway, back to hell for you. That's where you were. You were in hell. Okay, bye.
So, you noticed because you watched the trailer just before this, celebrities, you said celebrities are doing trailer reactions now because you saw a Tom Holland. What's his, the other one? Chris Pratt?
So, what's the other one?
The other one. Yeah. How do you feel about, well, they've worked together before, haven't they? Star-Lord had him in a headlock with a gun to his head.
Well, he had a stagehand.
No, I think it was him.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still very much on the...
Did you watch the trailer reaction? Because I didn't. No, so
of course
I
didn't.
Okay, right.
I've never watched a trailer reaction in my life.
Because I don't know. It's like, it's that additional layer of like... Because again, every time I watch a trailer, I'm very quiet and still.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll go...
Yeah.
That's not worth a watch.
Often you say nothing. Often I don't know when you've finished the trailer and you're just shopping for pants.
Exactly, that's right.
I can't tell. Because you always shop for pants with your headphones in.
That's exactly right. I want to be totally focused. I don't want to get the inseam wrong, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that, yeah. So, anyway, Pixar's are generally pretty good. So
yeah, I mean, they're the gold standard of animation. Yeah. I mean, aside from your occasional Cars related.
I saw Angry Birds too.
How'd that go?
Pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see Angry Birds 1?
No.
Okay.
I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I screamed the whole time. But no, I saw it with my son who loved it also. So,
okay, yeah.
And it's also the highest. I talked about it on Suggestible, my other podcast.
Oh, yes.
But it's the highest rated Rotten Tomatoes video game movie ever.
There you go.
So, and watching it, I'm like, yeah.
I get it.
Probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that mean any more? Because Angry Birds is a mobile game, right? There's no like PS4 version or anything like that.
Oh, there probably is.
There probably is.
Yeah.
But does this mean they're going to move towards more mobile games, I wonder?
I think, and I don't know if it did super well. The first one did really well.
Okay, right.
So I don't know whether they'll even make another one. But I know there's like a Netflix series and stuff, so they might push it towards there. Because that's what DreamWorks do, because they do the How to Train Your Dragons, and then they've got a series in between or whatever.
Do you think maybe they'll just move to movie adaptations of apps?
Yes, Raid Shadow Legends,
yep.
Which I keep getting asked to sponsor for like a lot of money.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, but this is crap.
Yeah.
But I really want the money. What do I do?
Well, you just cut that out and then you put me make that the ad.
I've never played it. Maybe it's great.
Yep.
I just don't like that. Like you run out of doubloons and then they hit you up for real money.
Yeah, they'll do that.
I don't like that.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to XE Currency Converter the movie.
Yes,
first app that I saw on my phone.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother. Or sales. I definitely prefer. Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond.
Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nix, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Rick and Morty also got a trailer and a release date.
Yeah.
Only half of the season?
Yeah, 5 episodes.
Yeah. They got renewed for 70. Mm. So I guess they're doing 5 now, 5 in the new year after the...
They got renewed for 70 episodes.
Yes.
Insane.
Because there was the gap between this time was the longest ever, apparently, because they were negotiating and whatever.
Uh-huh. So is that more episodes than they've done?
I think they've always done 10 in a season.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I think it's just 7 seasons.
Okay, right. Okay.
I'd love it if they'd ended up doing 20 episode seasons.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, make us bloody wait, bloody 17 years between.
Did the most recent season end on a cliffhanger?
I have no idea.
No idea.
It's been a long time. Yeah. Was it like 27?
Which is the one where there was the previous season that...
He escaped
the prison. Yeah. And then he's back. I don't remember what happened after that.
Let's assume that it did end on
the
cliffhanger. Was there an evil Morty or something? I mean, there was.
Oh, yeah, right.
There is an overarching story.
Yeah.
But that, I don't think... That's my favourite episode of that season, but I don't think that's the...
No, the council of Ricks.
Yeah,
or the,
and Morty gets elected. So yeah, apparently
there we go. That's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. But apparently there is going to be an overarching story, but still with your singular.
Cool.
There's some bits from the trailer that I quite like. There's a bit where they do like an Indiana Jones temple style booby trap thing.
Yeah,
they've just got these force field suits, so they just walk through and all
that's
the things
right, yeah.
are just pinging off them or whatever. Mm. Anything to you stand out, or do you think all in all, get ready for infinite memes and people screaming?
Oh
at
my god, I can't!
McDonald's
I can't
employees.
Wait for Rick to express a preference for a thing, doesn't matter what thing it is, and for that thing to sell out.
Yep,
and for people to go insane.
That's right,
really, and also performatively.
Yeah, which is also
maybe pants.
Also,
get your insane right.
Yes, agreed. Mm. But also, if you're doing it performatively,
yeah.
It's not clever either.
No,
you're still being a dickhead. But when I do it, yeah. I'm going to be commenting on that.
Oh, yeah, so cool. Yeah. So when you scream at a McDonald's employee,
yeah.
it'll be...
No, when I scream at a McDonald's employee, I mean it, Mason.
Yeah, good.
I put my whole heart into it.
Because your coupon's expired and they should honour it anyway.
And I used to work there, so I know. And that's what I say to them. Uh-huh. I know.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want to hear. You know, I used to work here. Great.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Everybody worked at McDonald's.
I had a conversation about you working at McDonald's with someone. I can't remember who it was.
Was it me?
No, it was a different person other than you. There are different people other than you.
I think so.
And it was about, well, I think we were watching TV one time and we were watching an ad for McDonald's and they're like, they're making the happy employees, they're making the burgers, they're getting in there, having fun, putting the burger together. And you just get this dead-eyed look and you go, sauce goes on the bottom. Like you just... They've gotten wrong. They've gotten it wrong, and you just snap for a moment, and then you are back to reality.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. Speaking of animation, I saw. I don't know if you
it
saw.
It does this. Go on the bottom because it's got to absorb into the bud. Yeah. Sorry.
Did you see this? This you may have missed this week. A man is suing Disney, Apple, and Amazon for ripping off the X-Men theme.
Yeah.
Song.
What's the? I saw the headline. So
okay.
What's
so
the deal there?
I'll get to the nuts and bolts of it in a second, but basically this man is suing all these companies because the X-Men theme song allegedly rips off the theme song to a TV series from the 80s and not I think maybe like the late 70s, early 80s, called Linda the Policewoman.
No idea.
Okay, hang on. So we'll play. Look, if you don't know it, this is the iconic X-Men opening theme.
I'm ready.
You ready for this? It might be loud.
We all know it. We all love it.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, that's enough. We'll get struck for copyright.
Oh, yeah,
on YouTube.
Cool. All right. No, what? Stop. Oh, no. Where's it gone? Okay. All right. So we all know that one.
Yeah.
And then every time there's like a one of these lawsuits, I'm like, it's like one little, it's one note. And you're like, obviously, well, that's, it's just an insane man being insane.
Yeah, right.
But this is Linda, original theme. I don't know what era this TV show came out, but here it is.
I've never heard of it.
Not much so far, right?
I can see,
On the fence a little bit?
Yeah.
It's not really, I mean, it's just...
X-Men doesn't say Linda.
Doesn't say Linda, that's your first mistake, obviously.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
That's very close, right?
There's like an, I'm not a music guy, but there's an uptick at the end.
Yeah.
Where the X-Men kind of zigs this
It sounds like if they needed the X-Men theme... on like a car ad and they couldn't afford the X-Men theme. They're like, have a go up at the end.
I feel that could be a coincidence, but it's pretty close.
That's very
also,
close.
Also,
right?
Why now?
Okay, so this is the thing. Okay, so as reported by Deadline, a Florida man named Zoltan Crisco, first of all, great name.
Great stuff.
Sounds like he's in the Russian mob. He's filed a suit against Marvel, Apple, Amazon, Fox, and Disney, among others, alleging that the theme song is unauthorized reproduction of the theme song from a Hungarian TV series called Linda.
Oh, that's why we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
The show's theme was written by a composer named Georgi Vukan, who died in 2013.
Right.
According to the lawsuit, Vukan's estate passed through a will to Crisco, who registered the copyright to the Linda theme song in the United States in 2017.
Okay. Well, that makes...
He's representing himself in the lawsuit, in which he claims that the X-Men theme song is at least partially responsible for the success of every X-Men adaptation of the past 30 years, including the billion-dollar movie franchise, despite the fact that the animated series theme song is not featured in a single X-Men film.
I would argue that there is some truth to that.
The first one, certainly.
Yeah.
Like, the X-Men theme song is a banger of a theme
it's
song.
It's the only, like that and the Ninja Turtles, is like the only theme song I really remember.
Yeah.
You know, off the top of my head. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, we'll find out, won't we?
So sure
this guy, he didn't write it. He inherited
this. He inherited the rights to it, the Hungarian rights to it a few years ago. Yeah.
It's also that, like, you'd have to prove that they'd somehow had access to this TV show. Because unless it's screened overseas or they travelled to Hungary or whatever.
But at the same time, it's also, it makes sense that if you were a American composer and you'd heard this.
If you're
a theme song composer, you hear theme songs all over the world from all the world. You'd be like, well, no one's ever going to.
They're fine.
This is the 90s, pre the internet. Nobody's ever going to
know
that
Harry Shearer story about a similar thing.
Oh, yeah.
In Australia. Can we say who it is?
No, I don't think we should.
Okay.
But there was a comedian in Australia who would, he'd go on a very popular drive time radio show in Australia, like with some sort of big names. It was very, very, it was a really sort of a legendary radio show. And he would go on every week or like, you know, at regular times throughout the year. Mm. And he would have these sort of prepared rants about various topics. And they were, you know, people were they bloody loved him.
He was crushing it. How did he do it?
He was crushing it. How did he do it? And then at the end of the, at the end of the year, this particular radio show had best of week.
Yes.
And they would bring in friends of the show here's this funny clip. What do you think about that kind of thing? And they brought in friend of the show, Harry Shearer, voice of many of the characters on The Simpsons. And they played this particular rant. I think it was about gun control.
Mm.
And Harry
this
Shearer.
This is in the 90s.
This
nobody,
is in the 90s. Yeah. And Harry Shearer was like, oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
It's also Howard Stern. So apparently this guy had just been getting tapes of Howard Stern's rants that I guess Howard Stern was just doing off the top of his head
because
he's that guy.
And was incredible.
Just somehow getting them from the US. Maybe he's listening to them on like one of those international radios.
I guess so.
And was just copying them down and being like, here's my thoughts on this thing this week.
That's right. Yeah. Mm. So he did that for years.
Yeah. So maybe if you're a theme song guy, you apparently maybe you just get all the theme songs. Like, here's the latest theme songs from all around the world on tapes. They circulate and you go, oh, I've got a good
pretty
idea.
Pretty good, right? Anyway, we'll find out. But Disney will probably, whatever it is, Disney will probably just give this guy a bunch of money and be done with it. I'd imagine. They'll just make it go away.
And then kill him,
yeah. Yeah,
they would mark the bills with radioactive dye and then shoot him in the head.
Take the bills back.
He-Man,
the movie, might be going to Netflix, the streaming service.
Oh, I've heard of Netflix.
It's over at Sony, I believe. Mm. Did they cast a He-Man? I think they did a while back. It was that guy from something. That's
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I don't think it's not him.
Okay.
And so I don't know whether this is this the right place for a sword and sorcery / technology.
Well, they got She-Ra. People are doing that She-Ra.
She-Ra is animated, though.
That's true.
And they're also, Kevin Smith is doing an animated sequel series at the moment.
To
He-Man.
He-Man.
But there was a sequel series where He-Man went to another planet with Skeletor or something. Remember that?
Yeah, and they were buddies.
Were they?
No, I don't know.
But there was.
I vaguely remember that,
it was
that,
a different
yes.
animation style, yeah. But they both left for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So
sandwich truck.
Sandwich
they
truck.
They worked on they it worked, together.
That's right, yeah.
They were, a judge sentenced them to go to another planet and work on a sandwich truck together.
That's right. Mm. It's a good show. But yeah. So what do you think about any of that news? Piece of news?
I want to see more He-Man.
Yeah. But good He-Man or whatever?
Yeah, good He-Man.
We borrowed a He-Man box set like years ago and we were just churning our way through them when we had time.
Yeah, when we had time for things, yeah.
Not good.
No.
We watched maybe 50. It was
did
a lot.
Did we really?
It was a lot.
Yeah.
And we maybe got halfway through. Yeah. It was so many.
Yeah.
But it's mostly just the same thing. And there's an episode where those identical effeminate sailors turn up.
Yeah, they join, He-Man joins the Eternian Navy. It's incredible, that episode.
And also, what you notice when you watch infinite amounts of He-Man episodes back to back, there's like six people in that kingdom. It's like so sparse.
It's just the people in the royal court and then maybe a peasant.
And some desert and then some like creepy vines and then Skeletor's castle.
Yeah, right. What are they all fighting over?
And they're
creepy
always
vines?
Looking at each other through mirrors and orbs. Right? Just watching each other get up to stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's silly.
It's a silly
Very
show.
Very silly.
Yeah, so did you see Kevin Smith is doing Clerks 3 now?
No.
He got Randall back. They buried the hatchet and he's working on it. And here's the story, right?
What was the deal with Randall?
I don't know. He said something about burying the hatchet and whatever, but he didn't want to do it because he wrote the script and that's why he's doing Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, right.
But the story is that Randall's the video store guy, right?
Yes, Dante and Randall.
I like Clerks 1 and 2. Mm. He has a heart attack, someone we know, Kevin Smith.
Oh.
And then when he comes out, he has a revelation that he should make a movie, so they make the movie Clerks, like Kevin Smith.
Oh, my God, it's so meta.
Art imitating life, imitating art?
Yeah,
I don't know
right.
How many levels deep that is. But.
And you're going to have to keep this pacemaker equipment in your giant shorts, Randall. That's how this is happening.
That's it. Yeah. Last bit of news, we've got some Matrix forecasting with
I got some more news after your
news. Oh, okay. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, who you'll know as Black Manta from the Aquaman films, has been cast in a lead role.
There we go.
Undisclosed at this point. So who knows? People are saying, is this a prequel? So is this like a young Morpheus situation or is it a sequel? I hope it's a sequel. Keanu Reeves is supposed to be in it, so I guess it's partially a sequel at the very least.
Or it's just footage of him bored at his job.
Yeah.
Inexplicably much older. Although they're not that much. They'll fix it.
They'll
it in post.
They'll be fine.
They'll
with
fix it,
it
in post. Yeah, that's fine. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's good casting.
It's just him going through his life, not sleeping well.
Mm.
Most relatable
it's
Matrix
like something's
ever.
Not right, but I'm very tired.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, anyway, off to go to this club where we exclusively listen to Rob Zombie again.
Yes, that's right. What do you got for your
Well, I've got
news?
Jared Leto unhappy with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
Oh, yes, of course. Because he didn't get offered the... Because I'm sure there was, at a point, his version of the Joker movie.
And there was
going to be a Harley Quinn Joker situation movie. And now he's maybe in Birds of Prey, but it mostly seems to be a stand-in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And following that, he's not in Suicide Squad, so here you go.
There you go.
Are you glad or sad or... What do you feel about this? Should he be upset? I mean, probably.
Should he?
I mean, they cut him mostly out of it.
Yeah, exactly, and it's not...
And people make fun of him relentlessly on the internet.
And he's probably a bad person. So not really at all, no. And also it's a different... regardless of what you think of the Joker movie.
It's just called Joker.
Joker. Did you see SNL has produced their one good sketch a year
for 2019?
And it's a David Harbour as Oscar the Grouch.
Very good stuff.
Pretty good.
Also, looks terrific. It's filmed very well.
Is it filmed in the same locations?
It seems somehow? To be.
The stairs are. People should watch that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Last bit of news from me.
Okay. You're crushing it with the news
thank
today,
you.
Mate.
No, all I'm doing is now Google knows my clicking habits, so it just provides me with, initially when I got this phone,
didn't know you like I know.
Exactly.
You.
And now all I get is comic book movie news and clickbait fan photoshops. It's like, you'll never believe that this version of Superman. I'm like, oh my God, it's like, it's boss logic. Yeah, we know. It's fine.
Is this a Connor Kent thing?
No, this is Michael Keaton's Batman to appear in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Michael Keaton's Batman.
Yeah, it's just like it's a still. It's like a news. It's a news. I don't know how much. I'm sure he's not going to be in it personally.
Yeah.
But there's just they've released a still of, it's a newspaper clipping. It's that version of Bruce Wayne is marrying Selina Kyle.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So are they going to, how do you know it's that version?
There's a picture of Michael Keaton.
Okay, right.
And it's got, but it's 80s Michael Keaton.
Oh, okay.
And it says socialite Selina Kyle. She's moved up in the world. Yeah, and it doesn't say secretary Selina Kyle.
And not dead.
It doesn't say Max Schreck's.
Max Schreck's secretary.
Secretary.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. She didn't die in that movie anyway. No, that's true. Yeah. Like, yeah, I remember. I'm still there.
Yeah. Also, there might be an appearance of Lucifer in this. Oh. In the TV series Lucifer.
I know Lucifer because he's looking through that wine glass.
That's right. He's so decadent.
He's always looking at me through Netflix.
He's so decadent. That's right.
I don't like him looking at me.
He'll be the patron saint of Weekly Planet Rude Edition, let me tell you.
You know he is. That's right. It's good to take a break from regular podcasting to do an ad, two ads.
If I could take a permanent break from regular podcasting, and according to some people I should, and switch permanently to ads, I absolutely would do that.
Just do the ads, just take the money.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But also love what you're endorsing and love what you're doing, because this week, Mason, we're talking about HelloFresh.
Hello.
Do you love making delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of the comfort that you have in the kitchen?
Yes.
And you can do this, I assume.
Oh, yes.
By step-by-step recipes with pre-measured ingredients. So you'll have everything you need to get a wow-worthy dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes.
That sounds really good.
That's right, Mason, because there is something for everybody.
Oh, yes.
Family recipes to calorie smart and vegetarian and a fun menu. I know you're a big fan of this, like Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers.
Mm.
And I know that's your jam. You're all about Kraft Burgers. You've never not been about them.
I'm all about the Kraft Burgers, but I'm also not about like putting in like, it's like this is a recipe for seven people, and I'm like, I don't how do I subdivide? I don't know. Am I going to have six people's worth of food left out? With this, you don't do that.
Don't worry about that, mate. It's all
you're like, it's going to make three burgers. It's going to make four burgers.
Pre-measured.
Yes.
Ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can easily change your delivery days for HelloFresh, food preferences, and skip a week whenever you need. So if you're worried about being locked in, No longer worry about that.
Or if you're worried, maybe you'll be locked out of your house.
Mm.
And please don't deliver it on that day.
Exactly.
You know?
So look, I've been on and off this for a couple of years now, Mason.
Mm-hmm. You've never looked better.
That's probably true, except for my graying hair and my wrinkles and my ghostly white complexion.
Right, but internally you're doing great.
Solid as a rock, mate.
Because HelloFresh.
That's right.
And only HelloFresh.
Nothing else.
I've been meaning to tell you that exercise regime you're on, it's not working for you. You look like garbage when you started and you look like garbage when you finished, but you know what doesn't look like garbage? You on HelloFresh.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'd recommend the chicken pineapple quesadillas. How do you say it?
Quesadillas.
Yeah, thank you. There's Q's and D's and there's two L's. It's not a word that I'm familiar with saying out loud, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll read it and I go, I know what that
you'll
is.
You'll make it quickly and easily and you'll smash it in your stupid face.
You know it, mate.
Is what you'll do, but you will not pronounce it.
No.
If Claire, your wife, asks you what you're having for dinner, you'll be like, it's none of your damn business till it's on the table.
You'll get what you get.
Mm-hmm. And it's delicious.
That's right. Also, if people want $80 off their first month of HelloFresh, oh my goodness.
That's an incredible amount of money off, isn't it?
I know. Go to HelloFresh.com/weeklyplanet80, as in 80, and enter weeklyplanet80. That's $80 off your first month at HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/WeeklyPlanet80 and enter WeeklyPlanet80. It's such a good savings, Mason, because you don't even have to do your regular shopping for dinner either, because this is what you're doing.
You don't even need to do your regular shopping for dinner.
Don't even bother.
With your regular shopping
Agreed.
For dinner.
Agreed.
It's a waste of time.
It's a complete waste of time.
You finish work and you're like, oh, now I've got to go to the supermarket as well. I've got to battle through traffic, but in addition, I've got to bloody go to the supermarket. The traffic's even worse, right? Don't even bother.
Don't
Just get
even
home.
Bother.
It's right there.
Agreed.
Mm.
That's like receiving 8 free meals, by the way, if you can believe it. That's linked below. Absolutely worth checking out. I highly recommend them.
Very
and so
nice.
Does Jessica Alba, who I see, is on their website as well.
So you're going to say Jessica Alba, who I see at the supermarket, but not these days.
No, because she's getting HelloFresh, mate.
Yeah, right?
Mason Movement. You know about them because they do stylish watches. You know that.
I know it because I've literally got one right next to me right now.
But you also know that they do stylish sunglasses.
Yeah.
Mm.
With several pairs on my head right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I recently lost my pair. I dropped them actually shopping at the supermarket, if you can believe that. That was my mistake, obviously.
Yeah, mistake number one.
Cost
sure.
me a pair. But I went online and I bought 2 pair exactly the same.
Right?
The Rex, mate. I bloody love them.
Yeah.
So that way, if I lose one again, which I won't, because I'm never going back to the supermarket.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got them handy.
It's good to find. I find men's clothing and accessories. Find what you like. Get a bunch of them.
Yeah, definitely.
For backup, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Or just get one, whatever you want. That's not it's not up to us what you do.
Yeah. But what's great about Movement,
watches
and sunglasses, I think, is because they've got a bunch of different styles.
Yes.
You can just get on the website, scroll down, you can find something that suits you.
Exactly.
Which is nice, you know?
Also, they don't break the bank, Mason. I've also got, I talked about this recently on Suggestible, but I've been wearing these, which I'm currently wearing. They're called the Icon. And they're the blue lens glasses. I've been wearing them at night because I often edit and watch stuff at work late into the night.
And then you have weird dreams.
I have weird.
If you ever finally
if
get
I ever
to sleep
at all, but it's been, I thought I might be imagining it for the first few days because I was sleeping really well and I could just shut off straight away as soon as I went to bed. But it's an absolute blessing.
Yeah.
And I can't believe how well these work. And now I get to wear cool glasses, even though I technically don't need them.
You say cool. I say you look like a wise old owl, which is cool in a certain way.
Certainly. And Mason, they've got, so you've got your options. You've got your polarized lens options.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about any of that harsh summer light or autumn light or spring light or whatever light you're currently
There's
in.
There's light in every season except for if you live in that town in 30 days of night where it's always night.
That's true.
For 30 days.
But even then, you could probably get some blue light glasses.
That'd be handy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Actually, the glasses start at just $60 and no pair is over $95. So you're guaranteed to find a style that you love. And there's over 2.5 million products sold across 160 countries. And the collection is always expanding. You can get 15% off with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/weeklyplanet. See why Movement keeps a growing. Check out their expanding collection. Go to mvmt.com/weeklyplanet. Please do join the movement. They're really good.
Did it say a growing in there or did you editorialize?
That was a little bit of a flourish.
They said give it a bit of flavor.
And I did. They'll probably give us extra money for that. Or sunglasses. I'll take whatever. I don't care.
That's right.
All right. On with the show.
On with the show.
I mean, do we have to? Let's do another ad. While we're in
Should we do a three-adder?
A thratter?
A thratter. Let's do a thratter this week.
Oh, my goodness. What do you want to talk about? A good thing or a crap thing? What do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about a good thing.
Oh, I was going to go the other way.
Okay, a crap thing. I was going, well, look, I'm easy. I don't have any preferences. Let's talk about a crap thing.
I just want to breeze through this.
Okay,
let's
cool.
Get it over with.
I don't think I hate it as much as you did.
Gemini Man.
Yep.
Ang Lee. Excellent director.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to have about a 24 to 29 million weekend, but the budget is 138 to 158 million.
Yeah.
Because if you're watching this movie and not knowing what it was, you'd be like, why is this so expensive? And then you'd be like, oh.
I get it
now. I know why this is so expensive.
Yeah.
What do you think the story was?
And it's motocross fights.
Yes.
It's
CGI motorbikes, people hitting each other with CGI motorbikes.
Yeah, motorbikes. It's Will Smith, and he's the best hitman ever. But now he's retiring, but no loose ends in the hitman business, so they're going to kill him. How are they going to kill him? Young Will Smith.
Yeah. I think I probably would have enjoyed this movie.
That's in the trailer.
Yes, I would have enjoyed this movie on some level.
Yes.
If
I'm ready.
No, you know what? It's not even terrible.
I agree.
It's bland and dull and formulaic. And
yeah, it is.
And the one card that they have, the young Will Smith, is kind of, they really lean into it. And as like a piece of technology, it's fascinating.
You know what this movie is? This movie is either the Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy or it's the Duke Nukem Forever of movies.
Oh, it's because it's been in the works
In the works for a long time. And I think if there weren't any Marvel movies ever,
yes,
I think people would watch this and go, they've done it. This is spectacular.
Yeah.
But now that this is a pretty standard issue trope of a Marvel movie or a lot of movies now where it's like, okay, we want to put Michael Douglas in this in a flashback. Let's just de-age him.
We need him 40 or whatever.
Yeah, like if they'd not done any of that, we'd be like, oh my God, Young's. And I, you know what? In having watched the trailers to this, I'm like, okay, Will Smith doesn't look that different from his younger self.
Mm.
It's pretty, like they've done a
I mean, a lot of it's the hair.
Yeah, I mean, but I think they've sold it a lot better than they thought they would. But again, this trick is nothing we haven't seen before.
But the thing is, though, this piece of technology, it is technically different because what they've done, it's Will Smith doing a motion capture performance for a completely CGI version of himself. So it's not just a de-aging.
Right.
It's a completely digital human.
So when we see young Will Smith in this movie, is there a stand-in? Or there's nothing?
I think that'd be a stand-in, and then they refilm it with him in a mocap with the dots and whatever.
Yeah, right.
So that's the idea behind it. So it actually is groundbreaking in that way. Mm-hmm. But
to the average Joe, us.
Yeah, it's like who cares because, I mean, and we just had Samuel L. Jackson de-age for an entire movie. Yep. But again, it's not the same piece of technology.
No, but the ultimate effect is the same.
Is the same, yeah. And the thing is, this
is a real Tesla versus Edison situation.
It really is. This is, yeah, who did invent the telephone or light bulb or whatever that's about?
Yeah.
Mm. Henry Ford.
It was Henry Ford, exactly.
That's right.
Okay, so how do you feel about the de-aging? I think it's very good.
It's really good.
In a lot of sequences, and it's a little bit shaky.
And then should we just spoil this?
No, that's not spoiler, but I'm saying...
I mean, come on. The main spoiler is that there's two Will Smiths.
That's true.
There is nothing else to this movie.
Yeah.
So we're spoiling
all I'm saying is, okay, fine. Okay, what I'll say without spoiling it is that there's a
lot of product placement.
There's a lot of product placement. Coca-Cola. Regular Coca-Cola. But I think they added a scene very late in the game.
The end sequence. This. Yeah,
yeah. The final bit, and I think...
And it's broad daylight.
They kind of rushed it.
And people are saying it's the broad daylight that makes the difference in it, but I think it's just a time thing.
Because I think so too.
There's a broad daylight scene
right
earlier.
At the start. Yeah, like there's a... The
training range?
The first meeting. Mm. Oh, that one, but also the first meeting between the
but
two.
That's mostly like sunglasses and hats.
And hats, that's true.
But in the track, when you see... Young Will Smith sitting and watching the training.
It's pretty flawless.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah. And it's even like they've like slimmed him down to like the build that he had in like Fresh Prince or whatever, maybe a little bit bigger. But yeah, I don't mind product placement and things. We just did two ads. We nearly ran three.
Right?
We tried to. We pushed
for it. What are we calling it?
Threadquill.
Threadquill. We nearly had a Threadquill, which is a three ad rad. Sequel.
Yes, that's right.
Which is what we're doing after this. We're doing a sequel to this episode. It's just ads.
Just ads. But it's like when he's about to drink a Stella and he's like, you don't drink a Stella, drink this. I mean, Stella's a great beer, but drink this crisp can of Coca-Cola.
Oh, do you think maybe Coca-Cola own Stella?
It's probably the one company.
Yeah, it's probably one. Maybe the new thing is like you play advertising companies off
each other. Yeah,
it's and like then and then you're like, okay, and look, we'll give you a positive review regardless.
Yes,
give you positive product placement, but you might be below something else unless you pay us more money.
Yeah, it's entirely
like
possible.
There'd be a sequence where like you know Captain America's running for he's dead now. It's like bloody Black Widow is running for a car.
Yeah,
and then she's like, I should hotwire this Audi. No, maybe I'll hotwire this car. Maybe I'll hotwire a Ferrari. Maybe I'll hotwire blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, no, Skoda is for me. I'm going to hotwire this Skoda because they paid the most.
I guess Bond does that, doesn't it? Because it's got different versions of cars in movies. Like it's got the Vanquish and the whatever.
Oh, they're mostly like Aston Martins, though.
Are they?
Yeah.
Was the invisible car?
They're both Aston Martins?
Yeah. They're both dumb Aston Martins?
He mixes it up again. Like he used to drive, he drove a Lotus. The car that turns into a submarine in The Spy Who Loved Me is a Lotus.
Okay.
But he's mostly Aston Martins.
Great. Good for him. I don't think it's Coca-Cola.
Okay, right.
But I don't know. So yeah, but it's that, and there's a few times where it's like, drink your bloody Coca-Cola, mate, with the label turned out.
That's right.
And there's things like...
Like we'd forgotten about Coca-Cola. Like I went into the cinema, I purchased a popcorn and a Coca-Cola, and then the lights went out, and I'm like, what am I drinking? I don't know. Oh, Coca-Cola.
You can never forget about it for a second. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coke's everywhere. When I lived in Tanzania, Mason, you know I'm a man of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be driving in the middle of nowhere... On the way, you know, and it's hours between anything.
Yeah.
And then you'll just see a Coca-Cola sign just whiz past you.
Yeah, right.
Because they pay, like, people's houses and shopkeepers just to give you X amount of dollars and we're just going to paint this on and just leave it forever.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So it's everywhere.
Huh.
Yeah.
I read somewhere once that, and this was a decade ago maybe, that collectively Pepsi and Coke had spent $9.5 billion on advertising.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you go to a restaurant and they go, you say, can I have a Coke? And they go, is Pepsi okay? You go, sure, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'll have a tap water then.
Yeah. No, I'm leaving. You don't care.
No, you really don't. I mean, obviously there's a slight difference, but
yeah,
not enough.
Sometimes it's nice to mix it up.
It's nice to mix it up. People don't know this, Mason, if they're not from Australia, but Pepsi and Coke aren't one-to-one here, are they? It's more Coca-Cola than Pepsi.
It's true.
So that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really
more interesting than Gemini, man. That's why we've gone off on this tangent, I feel.
I love the bit at the start where she's like, what are you afraid of, Will Smith? And he's like, oh, I've been avoiding mirrors lately.
But also bees.
Yeah,
and
bees.
Also bees and drowning.
Yeah.
You know what? If somebody had told... I was not interested in this movie. If somebody had said Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Benedict Wong were in this... I think I would have been more inclined to be like, oh, they're great. I like them.
But I think everyone is good at this.
Yeah, I agree.
Will Smith does a really good job at crying at both ages.
Yep, that's true.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead is great and should be in way more things. Yeah. Well, she's in Birds of Prey.
And yeah, she's a very credible... In this, she plays a CIA-esque agent. I can't remember the agency she works for.
Doesn't matter.
But she skirts the line of, like, she's not an action hero, but she's got skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's played quite well. Like, she knows how to handle a gun, but she's not a crazy super soldier like Will Smith is.
Yes.
Or his clone is.
Also, I didn't think their age range was that was
How
that
old is
insane?
Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
She was born in 84.
They've given her mom hair, obviously.
They have, yeah. Because they're,
to
like,
age her up.
15, 16 years apart. I'm like, that's not unreasonable that those two would get together. But they make a big point of going, like, ease up. It's not that's not this kind of story.
Mm.
It's generic, but not in that way.
Yeah, sure.
Generic in other. Uh-huh. But that avoiding mirrors thing is like,
yeah.
The other thing is they clone Will Smith's because he's like the perfect soldier from 1995 when they cloned him. They're like, this is the best and the best.
Very, you know, obviously forgetting about the movie Universal Soldier.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is probably from that era, if I remember correctly.
Almost certainly.
That's the perfect soldier.
But the thing is, like, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Yep. You can't find another guy.
Right.
He's not, I mean, he's good, but he didn't do anything this where I'm like, I've never seen anybody do. I mean, I guess he did punch somebody with a motorbike.
That's true. Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
But find another guy.
Yeah, I know, but also, like, you know, government budgets, you know what I mean? They give you the money, you've got to spend the money.
You've got to spend it on Will Smith.
And you can't be like, I'll find another guy.
Yeah.
You'll be like, I'll clone this guy.
And everybody takes way too long.
They're not going to give you billions of dollars to find another guy. They'll give you billions of dollars to clone one guy.
That's probably true. Or two guys, as it turns out.
They're all going to look exactly like Will Smith.
I guess
that's going to be weird.
But they can alter them.
I guess that's true.
Because they took out that guy's pain or whatever. But they had to tell you that they'd taken his pain out. They're like, don't you feel anything?
He's like, nah.
He didn't. Got shot in the head a bunch, that dude. I liked the motorcycle chase, and I didn't like really anything else.
Okay, sure.
The catacombs fight was two CGI men hitting each other.
Yep.
I don't know if you noticed, but they're just... Also, this was filmed in 120 frames per second or something, which they can't show here because I don't think there's a cinema in Australia that does that. There's like 20 in the US.
Yeah, right.
And apparently it's borderline unwatchable.
Oh, is it too... sort of an uncanny kind of... Uncanny Valley
the
kind
Hobbit,
of vibe?
The Hobbit, 48 frames.
Yeah, right. But this is way more frames.
God. It's that soap opera effect kind of thing.
Oh, it looks like you're in the room with them.
Yeah, and it's not, you don't want to be there.
No.
Because it's not safe. There's too many motorbikes flying about. So I liked that initial scene. I thought that was a good action sequence, and there's some
where
parkour.
He shoots, it's his last mission.
Yeah, or whatever.
That
one where he shoots the guy through the train.
Yeah,
that was all right. I didn't mind that. I meant when they first meet. It takes way too long for people to work out that Will Smith is a clone of himself. It takes Will Smith too long when they do the blood test and she's like, this is you. It's you. And he's like, what do you mean? They cloned you. I don't know. They did. You saw him. He sounds exactly like you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when they tell young Will Smith, they're like, don't you see they're the same? And he's like, you're just some old man. You look exactly the same. What are you talking about?
They look very similar, don't they? Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not true. My dad found me at a bus stop or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Think about it.
Here's the thing, though. I think if your younger self met you, your younger self wouldn't believe
you
turned into.
But if you were
wearing your glasses like a wise older owl / nerd, because we're not in the ad anymore, so I can say that. You nerd.
I liked sleeping well, basically.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
but your younger self would be like, I'll never sleep. I'll watch He-Man on DVD. I've got so much time.
You're probably right. But, I mean, your dad works for a shady government organization called Gemini.
That's true.
Think about it for a second. And the things that he told you, like, I'm allergic to bees and I have nightmares and I can do a flip and whatever, all the things that Will Smith can do.
I have nightmares about not being able to do a flip, but I can do a flip.
Yeah. So it took him way too long in the day to
Yeah.
Also, there's no, I think you could have
done. If you live in a universe where cloning isn't possible, to the best of your knowledge.
But we do. We live in that universe now. Mm. So cloning is possible. If they turned around, they went, we cloned someone 20 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, probably.
I still feel like it rides the line of like, if I met a young version of me, I'd be like, people can look quite similar.
No, it'd be too much.
Possibly too busy flushing his head down the toilet.
Because he wore glasses, didn't he? Matrix glasses.
Yeah.
The clip-on ones.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, there's a minigun minute.
There is. It's true. It's back.
We've got a lot of bloody tweets about
it. It's pretty impressive.
Good at Terrence chewing up the scenery.
Not good at chewing up Will Smith / Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Wasn't that kind of movie, though. I wasn't expecting that's true, it. Yeah. I thought it looked quite good, though.
It did. It had some tracer rounds going off.
Yeah, it was good.
Pew, 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 pew. Pew, pew.
There was a third Will Smith, as mentioned.
Lil Will Smith.
And he CGI parkoured.
Lil Smith.
Mm-hmm. He CGI parkoured his way into.
Yeah, that wasn't very good, was it?
No, it wasn't very
good. That was bad, in fact.
I think CGI people, they've come a long way.
Mm.
You can make Will Smith young.
Yeah.
But there's something about the movement of some of this was just off. It's the janky. I don't know what it is. It reminded me of that sequence from Blade 2. You know, and the two CGI people fighting in front of the bright lights at the start.
I think it's because they were 100% focused on.
Yes.
We're going to youthify Will Smith.
I think that's all they'll focus on for this entire
thing. Exactly. And they didn't pause to consider whether they should do a parkouring younger Will Smith.
Yes.
You know what they should have done? They should have gone, okay, well, we've discovered that young Will Smith clones don't work. So we're going to do aged Will Smith's. That's the super soldier.
I was expecting.
Hobbles in.
I really thought they'd be like 50-year-old Will Smith was cloned from like an 80-year-old Will Smith.
Do you think so?
I was really. I knew there'd be another clone.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I just didn't know in what direction it was going to come from. And I didn't expect they just made another one and he's the same as the other one.
He's slightly younger.
I can't tell.
Uh-huh.
I actually fell asleep for a minute during this as well. I mean, I'm generally very tired, but that doesn't really happen to me that often.
There you go.
And I don't know what point I dozed off in, but I don't think I missed anything. This is Ang Lee. He's an incredible filmmaker.
Brokeback Mountain.
This is a dog shit film. And I'm going to, I don't know, worst movie ever for me.
I'm also going to say worst movie ever. It's, I think the performances... Or just not even the performances, but the actors on screen that I like saved me from coming out of it going, I've wasted 2 hours on this, I think. But
I also didn't know they'd talk about people. They'd be like, where's Peterson or whatever? And I'm like, is that the Benedict Wong character? Is that the guy he handed the coke? I don't remember anybody's name from this.
Yeah.
So the
main character, Will Smith's character's name is Riley Brogan, I think.
Okay.
Which is the least Will Smith name I've ever heard.
Yeah. Jim West. They should have called him Jim West. Was that his name from Wild Wild West?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wild Wild West, Jim West.
And also
Desperado, something.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good movie, probably. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those things where you're banking on star power and you're banking on the young Will Smith to get people in. But those two things are not applicable to blockbuster movies anymore.
That's absolutely true.
And also, it wasn't good, so that didn't help either.
Yeah, sure.
I think if it was good, like they made a good narrative, I think people would have found some legs. But it's very interesting from a tech perspective.
I guess that's true. Now you've told me that they've come to this conclusion from a different perspective. Like, that's interesting.
Because when I was watching, when he's on screen and knowing that, it was fascinating because you can see the tears and the redness of the eyes and like the sheen off the face and the way the light hits it from different light sources in the room or whatever. And you know all that's fake.
Yep.
And it's incredible. So that to me, that was when I was like, this is like a 6-minute YouTube demonstration.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when you say like, we've used the Unreal Engine to create an old man's face. I'm like, that's the best old man face I've ever seen.
And then let's hit it with a brick and it's made of rubber and it goes.
Yeah, exactly. So from that perspective, really. Anyway,
so if this were a sequel, for example, to the video clip to Will Smith's Wild Wild West.
That'd be very interesting.
That'd be very
interesting. Sign me up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would Kevin Klein return? Is he in that film clip?
I think he might be, yeah. I think it's and Selma Hayek. They're all back.
Just off cuts from the movie that they threw in?
No, Wild Wild West, the video clip, tells a completely different narrative to Wild Wild West, the movie.
That cannot be true.
No, it's true. It's true, right?
I've never really seen either properly. Mm.
Pretty good.
I've seen bits and bits of Wild Wild West. Did I say bits and bits? What did I say? then doesn't matter.
You fell asleep again. That's what happened. Yep.
How long have I been out?
You've been out 7 days. People are clamoring for an episode of the Weekly Planet, either clean or rude edition. But I don't know how any of this equipment works, so I've just been spinning my wheels here.
You've made that water last. I know you finished.
I'm so thirsty.
Yes.
I'm drinking a drop at a time.
Worst movie ever. What about you?
Yeah, we said that already before you fell asleep.
Oh,
I mean, it was a week
it's
ago.
It's been 7 days, Mason. Yeah. What do you want from me? Anyway, there was another movie out this week, thank goodness. It was called El Camino. It's a sequel, a coda, a nice little bow on the Breaking Bad TV series. And also, I guess, Better Call Saul in a way, because it's all
kind of connected. Yeah, now I'm not up to date on Better Call Saul, but you are?
Yeah, there's a few nods and like some people show up, I think. But this is, I saw some.
Is Better Call Saul finished?
No.
Okay, right.
I saw some Easter eggs in this where I'm like, man, that is a deep cut.
Yeah, right.
So, like, I didn't even pick up on them. Like, I'd seen them online.
So is this
on Twitter?
Is Vince Gilligan the creator of Breaking Bad? Is he heavily involved in Better Call Saul?
Yes.
Okay. And he wrote and directed this. Yeah. Right. Uh huh. How do you feel about this overall? I feel like this is, again, it is a good bow on the top of this.
Are we spoiling this or not spoiling this?
I think let's not spoil it initially. Yeah.
Look, I'm a huge fan of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, for sure.
As everybody is.
It was nice and also horrible to be back in this universe. Yeah, that's my main takeaway from this because, again, Jesse Pinkman especially went through some horrifying stuff in that last season of Breaking Bad.
I've one gripe with it. It's a minor gripe.
Is it a spoiler?
It's a spoiler.
We'll talk about it in a minute. Okay, right. Yeah, so this is a kind of...
Is this you telling us what the story was?
Oh, no. So this is set immediately after the final episode of...
Straight up!
The season five
Which
of Breaking
Bad. I
think
maybe like 2010.
Right.
Maybe. Is that
so flip phones are still in, baby.
I love them.
Actually, they're really not. I mean...
They're just mostly using burners, aren't they?
That's true,
everyone's got a burner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you remember the Breaking Bad, if you haven't, maybe go watch Breaking Bad. We'll pause.
Yeah.
We gave you 7 days to watch the whole thing. So
surely
you should have got caught up by now. And Jesse has escaped from the Nazi gang.
Yep.
He escaped because Walter White machine gunned them all to death.
Yeah. He did good work.
He did some good work there, finally. And then he's on the run because there's still probably some more Nazis out there.
Yeah.
And he's got a... And the police are out there, obviously, as
They're
well.
They're coming to get him.
He's public enemy number two. Number one.
Walter
White's dead.
Well, yeah.
I liked how there was a lot of clickbait this week of like, but Vince Gilligan's definitively said what happened to Walter White. He's dead.
Yeah. I don't think Vince Gilligan is the type to bring him back.
No, for
to
sure.
life.
Yeah.
But, and they also say like they found 9 bodies at the scene. And I think if you add them up, one of them is Walter White.
Yeah, right.
So I would not be shocked if they went, he lived with like the police. But then it's not the show to be like, they've kept him in a secret coma. And
yeah, right, exactly.
And now he's back.
Yeah,
Some of the cast returns.
Yes.
Aaron Paul. He's really great.
Yep.
He's really good.
Because he's mostly silent in this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's not, if you're expecting, hey, Mr. White, bitch. You're expecting that.
I mean, you get a little bit of that.
You get a little bit in flashback. But if you're expecting... If you're expecting Weekly Planet Rude Edition,
what's up, yo?
You're gonna get Weekly Planet Clean Edition.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's older and wiser.
Though he's not really. He's probably still about 27 to 29 he's supposed to be.
Yeah,
he's 40 in real life.
But there's a lot of just silences and staring because he's a man who's been tortured, figuratively and literally.
What I thought was really interesting about this time around is we're going to spoil Breaking Bad, I guess. Yep. So, but not
we already mentioned the machine gun.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
good point. But is that the progression of this character, especially when you see him in flashbacks, is he's the confidence that he has now in himself and the way he'll just walk into a room,
yeah,
and the way that he wouldn't before.
He's been
just,
through some stuff
with just like a stone cold like approach and a plan. Like he was it Walter White sort of slowly became that guy.
Yeah.
And he's adopted a lot of those, this is an unwinnable situation, but I've got a trick up my sleeve or whatever to get. I thought that was...
Yeah.
I forgot how good the show is at ratcheting tension as well.
For sure,
And it's tiny little things.
Yeah. I also feel like this kind of has again, embraced like this New Mexico kind of like... Western vibe to it. It's like they ratchet it up. And yeah, I really get the sense of like... This felt like some sort of kind of neo-noir kind of everybody in this universe is bad And he's just he happens to be the best guy in it.
Yes.
Like, you only root for this guy because he's the least worst person,
yes,
I guess.
Because he has done some terrible things leading up.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody who kind of takes a turn in this series, they don't start that way and it's in increments, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They slowly get there, and then there's normally like a turning point, and for him it was shooting that other meth cook.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't know what season it was, but you want him to get away from the cops because nobody in this is really any better than anybody else.
No, that's true. The cops are all probably bad. Yeah. You know?
Because even I really liked when he runs into his friends Skinny Pete and Badger.
Yeah, they're back.
And just that idea in this world that of having like true friendship was like a real kind of
couple of pure bromances, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
I just thought that
bromances.
Was...
That was a thing in 2010, right?
Yeah, and I thought what was really interesting about those guys, they're kind of drop kicks and they're drug addicts and they don't really do anything, but there's a loyalty there and they're not entirely stupid.
Yeah, they've got street smarts.
Yeah, and I think that was really interesting. A lot of people, it's been a talk of the web that Meth Damon or Jesse Plemons,
yes,
who shows up in this, he's put on some weight between now and when he last appeared in this series.
Yes,
this
but and finale, all his appearances in this are in flashback,
yeah,
obviously.
Because he put on some weight for Fargo.
Because he was strangled to death.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He put on some weight for Fargo. And this is set in this is set like in the 6 months between when Walter White goes into hiding. So I guess he could have put on weight and then taken it off. It's entirely possible.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Look, it's
he could have done a bunch of meth. And
he
lost
could have done
a bunch,
yeah. And maybe he's doing it for a role. Yeah. Maybe there's other reasons for him doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I will say this, it was kind of a continuity distracting for me in moments. But overall, like, Jesse Plemons is an amazing actor and is just he plays this stone-cold lunatic who's also kind of a nice guy.
Yeah.
At the same time, really well.
He's got a certain southern hospitality about him. But he's also a lunatic.
The worst person in the world. Do you want to just do spoilers?
Yeah, I'm going to say best movie ever.
100% best
movie
ever.
Or best episode ever. Because it feels like a two-hour episode of Breaking Bad.
I think
you're
expecting like, and he's going to take down the cartel and he's going to, all the corrupt cops in the system and whatever, and then he's going to get $1 billion and he's going to fly a plane. And it's not
this
that.
This is just one more snippet in his life, really.
And I was going to say, that's kind of my issue, my only issue with it, and it's a minor issue, is that I just assumed he got away to Alaska anyway.
As he planned,
As he planned to do at the end of the season finale.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yes.
So he gets away. That being said, watching him do it was fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
So, again, it's a minor gripe. Yeah.
Spoilers. Let's talk spoilers.
Yes. I like how the story is, like, really low-key in terms of he just needs $1,800.
Yeah, right.
And that's the difference between him being locked up forever.
Yeah, and true. Or being killed by any number of people. Yeah. People may know Robert Forster, who plays Ed, the vacuum cleaner salesman, who's also the kind of disappearer. Mm. He passed away this week.
Yeah, like the day it was released or the day after. Yeah.
He's great. And he's
excellent.
Not. I think he was in the London Has Fallen, Olympus Has Fallen movies.
Oh, okay.
He's in that. But
was he like an old, is he a retired CIA guy or something?
I think he's a general.
Okay, right.
But he won a Saturn Award, I believe.
A Sega Saturn Award?
He won a Sega Saturn Award. He got his Sega Saturn for that episode of Breaking Bad, the last episode
he was in.
Yeah. And he's great in that he's like an old school actor, and it's not about doing the most acting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's subtle.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy who believably runs a vacuum store, but also smuggles people.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Drug dealers, finds them new lives or whatever. Yeah, I really like the apartment scene.
Where he's gone back to Jesse Plemons' apartment to get his money.
And what I thought was really interesting about that, and I thought it was odd at the time until the scene kind of reveals itself. When he goes, call your partner in here, when Jesse's got the guy at gunpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, Lieutenant, come and check this out. And the guy's immediately suspicious. And he's obviously immediately suspicious because neither of them are cops.
Yeah.
And why would he be calling him Lieutenant when they're both...
Yeah,
when it's supposed to be just them that's alone. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting, yeah. Mm. I thought that guy, that welder, might have been a bad guy from a previous season. Because sometimes there's like minor players that you see briefly who show up in this. So I thought, but he's not. I looked into it.
Is he not? Is he not the guy that welded the cage
to him? Yeah, he is, but he wasn't. There wasn't an episode of that.
In that. He's not in it. Okay,
yeah,
right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, right.
That's 38, if you can believe that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah. I just think he looks like somebody's dad. But I guess we're all somebody's dad.
Somebody who's 38 could be somebody's dad.
I know. I'm old. I'm just this is just a reminder to myself.
Yes.
Death is imminent.
Anyway, Robert Forster, good. He was in Heartbreak High, but I think it's not the Heartbreak High we're thinking
of. Oh, yeah, there's
another. 1981's Heartbreak High. He was in Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence.
I have not seen that one.
No, neither have I. He was in American Yakuza. He was in Scanners the Showdown. Oh, he's in Jackie Brown. He's Max in Jackie Brown.
I was going to say, yeah, that's the big role.
There we go, yeah. Mm. Uh-huh. And he's in Me, Myself, and Irene, if you've seen that movie.
I have, but I don't.
He's in Mulholland Drive. That's a good one. Yeah. What were we talking about? I love the scene, but speaking of the welders,
yeah.
I love the scene where he killed them all. Well, he killed a few of them.
Killed some of them, yeah.
And blew the place up.
What's funny about all the pieces are in motion for that scene that he was, of that was going to happen, because you saw him get two guns from his parents' house. You see that he's only got one on him, and he's got his hand in his pocket.
Yeah, right.
And I still didn't figure out that.
Yeah, right.
It took me a second even.
That's because you're dumb.
I know, but it took me a second even after he shot the guy
to figure out what had happened.
Uh-huh. And I loved how his pocket was on fire.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I thought that was terrific and just a really. And that bodyguard, you know, for the prostitutes, he's from previous seasons. He's in a minor role.
Okay.
That spider, which is in Jesse Plemons' apartment, is the spider of the kid that he killed in the desert. Like, he held on to it.
Oh, yeah, right.
So it's just like this. And even things like, you know, the money that Skinny Pete and Badger give. These are all things I saw on Twitter.
All right.
These things that they give Jesse.
That will soon be in your Easter egg
video.
That's
right. No, I'm not doing one. That they gave to Jesse is the money that Walter White gave them to hold the laser pointers on that rich couple.
Oh, I remember that.
There's just little things like that.
Because in the last episode, they're like, you should give money to my family otherwise.
Yeah.
Because that's the couple that cheated him out of his riches in some way, in some vague way.
Yeah, that's it. So I really got to rewatch it. Yeah. Watching this made me realize that I probably will sooner rather than later.
How do you feel about the ending?
It kind of left me wanting to.
He's got a nice turtleneck on.
He's got a great turtleneck, but I want to see him living up in Alaska, getting into new adventures and mischief.
Oh, do you think he's going to get into new adventures?
Look, apparently this is the end of it, at least for now.
Yep.
But I'd love to see more of this character. And that's kind of. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, maybe leave it.
Yeah, I think. I guess you're right. On the one hand, and that's a testament to a good character. I would love to see him in more scrapes and adventures, but also I don't want him to get into any trouble ever again. I want him to raise a family of turtleneck with a turtleneck wife and turtleneck children up in Alaska and not get into any trouble.
Yeah, but it's funny because Dexter had a similar ending where he
became a lumberjack
and in Alaska, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe he goes and hunts down Dexter.
Oh, yeah. Food truck.
Enough with the food truck.
No, it's the perfect combination of food and mobility. You know what I mean? It's convenient. It's convenient and delicious, all right? And I won't stand for it.
So if you had to choose.
Yes, we would start a food truck, yes. Podcast is gone.
I don't want that.
Mm.
Do you want.
We could call it Rude Dude Food.
Isn't that the name of one of Levins's books?
Is called Dude Food.
Dude Food, which he did not want to call it.
That's correct.
But he has a new book coming out. It's a kid's book. It's not about food.
Ah.
I think it's in April.
All right.
Anyway, we'll talk about that closer to April.
Okay.
But so if you had to choose, see this character again, yes or no, what would you say?
Yes.
Me too.
Maybe Skinny Pete and Badger get into trouble.
Oh, he has to go back.
And Bro Code, he has to go back.
See, I'd kind of want him to do
Adventures in Alaska.
Yeah. Mm. And what kind of mischief can he get into up there? Maybe his old life follows him. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just new trouble that
maybe
he finds himself in.
He remembers that in order to pay back his student loans, he has to take a job as a doctor practicing in Alaska. The TV show Northern Exposure.
Very
is
good.
Is what I'm thinking of. That's the plot of the show Northern Exposure.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
But I did see the Walter White cameo.
Yes.
Which was spoiled for me because I think I saw a Twitter headline that was like, is Walter White, this is months ago.
You'll never believe who's in the.
He's coming back. He told everybody he's coming back. And
right.
He's coming back. He didn't shave his head. It's a bald cap.
Oh.
But I thought what was interesting is all the flashback sequences. There was one with Jessica Jones, of course.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's one with Mike and Walter White. They're all like giving him hints towards maybe you should do something with your life. And he's like, get the fuck out of here, man. Don't worry about it. And then it's funny.
Just live off of my meth profits forever.
Yeah. Mm. And it seems like I guess maybe his hand was forced, but he finally ended up doing the thing that everybody was kind of pushing him towards. Right. And it was interesting that they chose that Walter White to go with, because that's like season one Walter
White. It is,
White,
yeah.
And not lunatic season three, I guess he's probably where he really takes a turn.
He's still a teacher, kind of, that mindset. Exactly. Getting advice from, it'd be like getting advice from you when you're a teacher versus now. These days, it'd be like, what should I do with my life? And you'd be like, put a machine gun in the back of a car. And if anybody gives you any trouble, you machine gun them with a machine gun in the car.
Yeah, that's probably what I would say.
Yeah.
But good cameo.
I agree. He's got that cappuccino mustache, you know.
Oh, you know he does. Some of the best. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, I think that's worth a watch.
Good. And you should watch Better Call Saul.
I should.
Because it's also very good. And Vince Gilligan, is that his
name? Vince Gilligan, yes. Gilligan. Like the island.
Like the island. That's I nearly said that, but I'm like, that can't be right. But it is. Yep. Worked on X-Files.
Yep.
He worked on this and other things. So yes. Good on him. Maybe he wants to make other stuff anyway.
For sure, yeah.
Like Better Call
Saul. But here's the thing, though. Do you think that, given that he's given us a cap on this character, do you think people are going to stop clamoring for more Breaking Bad stuff?
I don't think so.
No, absolutely not. No. If anything, he's shown people that if they complain enough, he'll kowtow to that.
But so. I also think he's the kind of guy that would only do it if he had a good idea. But I also feel like it's going to get to the point where if he keeps making and people would just be like, we get to a point and be like, well, you fucked it, didn't you?
Like yes, exactly.
He kept pushing it. And which is why I would also be okay if they stopped making these. Yeah. Anyway, best movie ever.
I agree.
And also good as a Netflix release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, I would have 100% gone to the movies to see this the day it came out.
Yeah, probably the same, actually.
I really liked that it was just on my TV and I spent Friday night watching it five times. That's not true. I watched this and then I watched more Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Cool.
Nice. But should we do what we're reading, what we're going to read?
We'll do what we're reading, what we're going to read.
I got to put the theme song
in. Put the theme song, you goose.
I'm doing the theme. What are we reading today, Mason?
Here's a question for you.
I love questions.
Should I get the
vasectomy? Yes. Get all
way ahead of you.
Both your balls cut off.
Okay, cool. Way ahead of you. But after that, when I'm recovering, should I get the remastered Ghostbusters video game?
Never played it.
Yeah, neither have I.
And probably
because I love original Ghostbusters, and this is of course the real sequel to Ghostbusters 2.
I was thinking about mixing up the Caravan of Garbages for video games.
Yes.
How's this for a format? Because normally we just play through a level.
Yep.
Why am I flirting with this? You on air?
I don't know. Like, it's exciting to hear how the sausage is made. But
it certainly is.
Put a racial slur in so you know you have to edit it out.
So we go away and we play the video games independently.
Like a damn Irish.
Like a damn Irish.
Yep.
Then we're both Irish, so it's fine. We can say it. We come back together and we maybe play one key level together.
Okay.
And we talk about that, like we do the commentary, and we also do like a review. So we intersperse the review with the let's play or whatever.
I like it.
And I think Ghostbusters, when the new one comes out, this might be a good
way to do that. Because I read a lot of reviews for this game and it's like, well, it doesn't really add anything to the original version. I'm like, well, I didn't play the original version.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks a bit...
It's also from an era where you were still playing video games.
Yes, that's true. Mm. But also this it's a remaster, but it still kind of looks... PS3, I think. Mm. No, I was expecting more, but I'll probably play it.
Apparently it's like a bit kind of janky.
Okay, good.
But, you know, because it's like 10 years
again,
old.
I'm kind of hesitant to go into yet another kind of, it's a third-person sandbox situation.
I don't think it is sandbox.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I think
it's sandboxy.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, then, good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty linear.
Mission-y?
Yeah, but I think a complaint of it is that you're with the original Ghostbusters.
And you're the rookie.
You're just generic, doesn't talk guy, which was kind of a...
And they're all quipping at you and you're like...
Shut up, Bill Murray.
Yeah.
We can't hear you.
That's right.
Mm. Or in real life.
That's true. Well, I'll get it. I'll get it and I'll let you know.
I think you should get it. Yeah. And then we'll probably end up doing it anyway.
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing maybe...
As long as the proton gun effects look good.
Apparently looks... Well, from what I've seen, it looks amazing. Right.
As long as I can throw a trap.
Yeah. I was thinking of doing like Ghostbusters.
As long as I can punch Walter Peck right in the face. Call him dickless. You know what I mean?
Do you reckon there's any swearing in it? I bet there isn't.
There probably isn't, no. Yeah. But it's also one of those, it's kind of like they had to build a plot around revisiting a lot of the old stuff from the movies. It's like, well, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and Capturing Slimer again. And
there's that painting of that guy.
I don't think Viggo the Cup, or maybe he is.
No, the painting is in it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. They obliterated that painting. Didn't it become like...
It became...
Like them?
Yeah, it became like a... like a religious painting with the Ghostbusters and a baby.
That makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't make sense.
And the guy from Abby McBeal was in it.
Abby McBeal?
Ally McBeal.
Abby McBeal.
Abby McBeal.
She never made
That's immediately become a thing that now, no matter what happens at this point, I'll be like, hey, James, you want to come to the movies? And you'll be like, is Abby McBeal going to be there? And you're like, no! No!
You're also going to get tweets like that now.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm at the movies. And you make your cool Gemini Man post where it's two of you.
Mm-hmm. Abby McBeal.
One on the left, Abby McBeal.
Abby McBeal.
I've been watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles for a came out of garbage.
Okay. Good. Great.
It's great.
Yeah.
I forgot how good that show. It's dated because it's 11 years old.
Okay, here's having rewatched it, tell me about this.
Yeah.
I feel like in the first episode, what's that actor's name? She's River in Summer Glau. I feel like in the first episode, she's been given a lot more human emotions.
Yes, 100%.
And she's obviously been designed to blend into the high school where she is. And then I think after the pilot, they're like,
they strip it back.
Yeah, they'd be like, well, it'd make more sense if she's learning about humanity or whatever.
Yeah, and then definitely.
I remember that being quite jarring, but
I think, definitely. And like the special effects are a bit wonky because it's TV and it's 10 years ago, but it's better than all the other crap that I've watched for this, I'll tell you that much. So anyway, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And anyway, we'll do a cape and a garbage on it, but spoiler for that, I guess. But I also read DC Black Label. It's back.
Oh, is that Batman Damned?
No, that's done. We saw his dick and it's over.
We saw his dick, absolutely.
It's called Joker Harley. Where you see Joker's dick.
Nice.
And no, he's not in the first issue, but it's Cami Garcia, art by Miko Suyan and Mike Mayhew.
Ooh.
And it's basically a reinterpretation of the characters where Harley Quinn is just a professor of sorts or a criminal psychologist. I can't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, she's not a cop, but she's helping cops track down serial killers. In particular.
She's like the Mentalist.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She's like...
Castle.
Yes, she's like Abby McBeal.
She's like Abby McBeal. Not a cop, but helps the cops, probably.
She's after the Joker in particular. And he hasn't shown up yet in the first issue, but I thought it was interesting. Okay. And
a comic book where the main character doesn't show up. Fascinating.
Yeah, one of them.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm not sure how I feel about this DC Black Label. As of yet.
How is it differentiated from the regular DC universe?
This one, nothing.
Okay,
there's
good.
There's no dicks in it, so.
Yeah, wow, okay.
It's just darker.
Is it in the style of any particular version of Harley Quinn, do you think?
It's more realistic, I would say.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it looks like one of those things where, because it's not like every month, or if it is every month, they spend more time kind of on the artwork.
Do you feel it's been released now to cash in on Joker? I mean, obviously it has, but do you think it's a case of like, well, if you want more street level Joker stuff that isn't silly,
then yes.
You don't want to, I mean, why would you read a Joker thing that has silly clown stuff in it? You know what I mean?
I don't like
ridiculous.
That. I like my Joker as real as the day is long.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, I'm probably going to watch The Terror, which I haven't watched yet, but
which
you've
season?
Recommended. They're both on Amazon Prime.
They are.
So I did not know that.
They're both good. I haven't finished up the second season yet, but they're both good. I think I liked the first one more.
Very cool.
I don't know, but I haven't finished the second one yet.
Well, I feel I have limited time left before the entire thing is spoiled for me, so I'm going to...
Do you like Spooky Times?
Yeah.
Do you like Spooky Times on Ice?
Yeah.
And you'll love it. The first season.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to see Spooky Times on Ice, the Christmas Spectacular.
Anything else?
That's it, I think.
Then let's do the letters.
Let's do the letters.
As a team, though.
Okay.
This time, Mason.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. I know they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
Very good.
Letters.
If you want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter, or conversely, WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com. Send over a Gmail.
Yes.
And Mason will see that Gmail.
Yes.
And he will peruse it.
Yes.
Will it be any good?
Yes.
He'll decide.
Oh.
And then he'll read out 1 to 4.
Yes.
Depending on how he's feeling.
Currently I've got 1.
All right then.
This is from an anonymous source. Well, they've got their name here, but they said, if you could keep me anonymous, that would be much appreciated.
No problem.
He went to a private talk by Scorsese at a large British film institute. Let's call it WAFTA. It's probably BAFTA.
No, it says WAFTA.
It does say WAFTA. And he said, let's call it WAFTA, so I guess I should accede to his wishes. he spoke at length about how no studio would pick up a movie with both him and De Niro because the theatres are full of the theme park movies. He fears that the skills of cinema will slip away as cinemas only show superhero films. He also said he used to like superhero films before the MCU.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are bad. What's he talking about?
I know, right?
Is he talking about Superman and Batman 89, I assume?
Maybe he is, yeah.
He must be, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Because anything from, most things from the 90s. I don't think he saw Spawn and went, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Did you hear this story? This is from Comic-Con this week. I think it's New York Comic-Con. Pee-wee Herman created Tim Burton's career in a way. Tim Burton directed Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, and then he saw his weird short?
So what happened is Pee-wee Herman, and this is also Sylvester Stallone related.
Yes.
So Pee-wee Herman, he'd been Pee-wee Herman for many years, and he had his first movie coming up, and they were like, the studios were like, here's 100 directors, pick a director out of this, and he's like, I don't like any of these directors.
Yeah.
And...
I hate Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese, Paul Reubens said.
Yes.
And they're like, well, okay, well, how about this guy? How about this director? You got to pick this guy.
And he had all the power because he was a huge entertainer at that point,
He did, but, they were also pressuring him to be like, we've narrowed it down. You've gone through 100 people. There's this guy left. What do you reckon? And so Paul Reubens channeled apparently Sylvester Stallone, who famously, put his foot down and said, I'm not giving you permission to do Rocky unless I'm Rocky, kind of thing.
Right.
And he said...
I'll be Rocky.
Yeah, he said, I'll be Rocky. But he also said, I'm not going to... If the director's not right, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And then he had to go out and be like, I got to find a director. Mm. And apparently he was friends with Shelley Duvall, who'd worked on Tim Burton's Frankenweenie.
Right,
the short film.
Yeah.
And she was like, you got to get this guy. He's weird.
Weird hair.
Yeah, and then he directed Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Really?
And that's how he's bloody Tim Burton now. I mean, he probably would have gotten in some other way, but...
That's true, and he repaid the favour by putting him as the Penguin's parents in Batman Returns.
That's right, yeah.
There you go. Wow.
A person who's emailed in here said, I thought he may have been misunderstood in his original quote. That is definitely not the case. It says here, he quite honestly came off as a little bit bitter about how things have changed.
Well, he's 76.
Also, here's a scoop. He also refuses to drink anything that isn't purified.
Well, he's 76,
that isn't purified bottled Fiji water. His assistant sent that request into WAFTA 3 times to make sure it sunk in.
This WAFTA place is
out
of this world. Mm. I mean, water's water, I guess.
I mean, it's not Fiji water, though. From the rivers
not
of Fiji.
Even from Fiji.
What?
I'm fairly confident.
Oh, my God. Is it a Coca-Cola product?
It
I think it might
is,
be.
Yeah.
We did it. We got Gemini manned.
Yeah. I find that hard to believe that a studio wouldn't greenlight a Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro movie.
But I mean, he is on Netflix now.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
When's The Irishman coming out?
Like a month.
Okay, right.
But The Irishman, they spent like $150 million on that. I mean, it's a Netflix, so it's different. But I really find that hard to believe that a studio wouldn't greenlight something like that.
Mm. Yeah.
But I mean, he's saying it. It's like.
But I mean, I guess it also depends on how the question was asked.
Yeah.
You know.
What was I'm curious though. Like, did he like the X-Men films? Did he like Elektra?
It's a mystery, isn't it?
What did he...
Maybe he did like Elektra.
I mean, he probably liked The Dark Knight. I can see him probably liking that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did he like Spider-Man, Sam Raimi Spider-Mans?
Yeah, good point. Yeah. But, I mean, anyway, he's entitled to his opinions and it doesn't matter.
Did he like Meteor Man?
He might have liked Meteor Man.
Like Meteor Man.
Mm, there you go. Apparently he was also asked to direct Joker, but he was like, nah, I don't want to do it. I'd rather...
Yes.
D.H. Robert De Niro or whatever. Yes. Put him in weird heels. This is from Poo Poo Magoo on Twitter. He or she is back.
excited.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. With rumors, did you hear this? That Warner Brothers are considering a President Lex Luthor film without Superman following the success of Joker. Did you hear that?
Maybe I heard something about it, but it also might have been that clickbait in my Google results.
Yes.
So.
Would you prefer to have no Superman or have him in the background and focus on how he deals with an all-powerful alien? That one. Mm. I think you could make a Lex Luthor movie. And I think you can also do one without Superman to a point.
Sure.
I don't think you can make him go all the way to president without Superman rolling up at some point. I'm not saying he has to be the focal point. I don't think he has to be in it.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't even have to really cast it. But, I mean, a universe without him over that time period. I mean, what's his drive? Because a lot of time the motivations of Lex Luthor
is because
of Superman.
Yeah, exactly. He sees Superman as this... Again, first of all, a mysterious invader, but also like, he thinks he's better than me. Well, I'll prove I'm better than him, kind of thing. So,
doesn't even have hair.
Yeah.
Someone's got great hair.
As bald as a plucked chicken, that bloke. Embarrassing.
So, what do you think? I know you like more comic book elements in your comic
book
movies.
That's true, I do, yeah. It's in the Joker universe. is what we're saying.
I don't know about that.
Okay, right.
Sure. Does it matter?
Kind of, yeah.
Would the Joker be on the news? They got him. They got that guy who shot those three guys.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like you said, who's Lex Luthor if he's not...
Set in the 80s then?
Yeah, versus Superman, you know what I mean? Like, what adventures is he getting up to? You know?
Like, is he Nixon-esque? Is that what they're doing with this?
Maybe, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He's got to have some sort of foil. You know what I mean? I'm not interested in Lex Luthor necessarily if he's just
a politician.
He's just a politician / crooked businessman. And they'll be like, doing shady things.
It's Trump. Do you get it?
Yeah, right.
We get it.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah. Luthor would be a way better president than Trump. Anyway. I don't know. I would like to see, I would be 100% on board with a Lex Luthor movie set in whatever universe we currently, the standard DCEU or whatever it is. And it's just him.
Whatever that universe looks like.
Yeah, whatever it looks like currently.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah. Oh, maybe not him. get John Cryer in. I don't care. And just his, maybe just him off on some sort of cosmic adventure in order to gather the power to defeat Superman.
Yeah.
And then he has to inadvertently be a hero somewhere else. You know what I mean? He's off in the cosmos. He's off trying to breach the source wall so he can get the ultimate power to defeat Superman or whatever.
See, I think you wouldn't even need to do that. I think you could just strictly do it like, you know, he grows up and he's neglected and then he becomes super smart and he's resentful and then he, you know...
About
Superman or whatever and his father, and then he builds LexCorp or he takes it over and then he becomes president.
Yes.
I would love to see that movie.
You're right.
In a world where there is also Superman and the Justice League.
Yeah, right.
And because you've talked about that before, it's one of the interesting things about Lex Luthor is, and the fact that he's so intelligent is, he's got these people who are dogging him 24/7.
And he still became president. Batman was on his heels and Superman, to uncover his crooked dealings, of which there are many.
Yeah.
He's attempted to destroy Metropolis multiple times, and yet he still became the president. He's just that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that would be interesting. You're right. But again, that doesn't work in a universe... like a Joker-style universe.
No.
Because then he's just a corrupt businessman doing crime and becoming the president, and his name's Lex Luthor.
And aren't they all that in that universe, maybe?
Yeah.
Or at least the 1%.
I don't want to talk about the Joker anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm even sick of the memes. I never thought that'd happen. I'll do a couple more weeks of memes.
You got to do the memes, mate.
And the retweets.
Okay. This is from... it says Chudders, but the
Chudders.
But the U is a V, so it's Chuvders.
Chuvders.
Yeah.
Nice.
Since Halloween is coming up, what's your favorite candy? # Weekly Planet Pod.
I like Junior Mints a lot. I think they're very good. It's a dark chocolate.
What about Senior Mints?
That's not a thing.
Senior Mints is
you
my
son
father.
Of a bitch. You idiot. I don't know. What's your favorite Australian candy that Americans don't have?
Rocks and spiders.
It's not none of those. That's not true. No.
A sharp stick.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
A sheep whole, unshaven. Just eat right through it.
Yeah, nice.
Not a sex thing. That's New Zealand.
That's what they do. Yep.
What's Australian? Tim Tams? I don't know. What's Australian? I don't know what's Australian until I go overseas and like, you don't have?
You don't have that.
You don't have didgeridons?
Yeah, exactly.
The mints?
Yeah.
They don't exist. They're not real.
That's something Americans would have, though. They'd have didgeridons. You'd buy them at the Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, that's right.
I think the violet crumble is Australian.
Is it? I love a violet crumble.
I think a violet crumble is Australian.
I prefer that to a crunchy, actually.
Crunchies are American, I think, or British.
Yeah, right.
They have the Mars bar.
We have the Mars bar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Is the Boost Australian?
I think that's probably British.
Yeah.
I
love...
Yes.
Like, you go to a weird old sweet shop and just getting the sourest thing they possibly have.
Like a sour strap or some
sort. No, like the boiled ones that, like, melt your face.
Yeah, right. Butterfingers, they're delightful. Those chocolate-coated, peanutty, sugary things.
Okay.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm just typing in Australian candy. Okay, we don't even call it candy here either.
We call it lollies.
Oh, do you like Birdie Beetles?
In order to explain Birdie Beetles, we also explain the concept of the show bag.
Yeah, but Charlie Clawson is the face of the show.
That's pretty weird,
and
right?
And you went to the show.
I did go to the show.
It's the perfect opportunity for you.
There's a thing in Melbourne.
You didn't want to do it.
There's a thing in Melbourne called the Royal Melbourne Show, which started as some sort of agricultural show, I think. And you go there and there's like cows and livestock, but there's also this side business where you get show bags, which are plastic bags filled with assorted garbage. And they're in price ranges.
Just get the ones with food.
You can get one for like $5, but you also get one for like $100.
Yeah.
But they always contain, there'll be some combination of can't lollies, chocolates, and assorted like guns that fire darts or whatever that break by the time you get them home. Yes. And there'll be a Phantom comic in there. I wonder if they still, I didn't buy a show bag this year, but they probably still contain a Phantom comic.
Yes.
And Bertie Beetle is like the...
You can only really get him...
Yeah, at the Royal Melbourne Show. It's just like a wrapped, foil-wrapped chocolate.
Yes.
It's got crunchy bits in it. I don't know. Can't remember. I should have bought a Bertie Beetle.
You should have.
Yeah.
I just looked up to see, because I saw Kit Kat kept coming up as Australian sweets.
Yes.
I know they have them in Japan, but apparently they're not in the US.
Oh.
That cannot be right.
No, that can't be right.
That seems wrong. Inexplicably. Twisties, they're not...
They're not candy.
Not candy, but that's coming up, isn't it?
They are canonically Australian.
Very good. And caramello koalas, of course.
Of course.
They're all right.
Yeah, I don't like a caramel koala. Yeah,
but you're right about Violet Crumbles. Mm-hmm. Is that the show?
I think that's the whole show.
Good.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for donating to our charity campaign. We're up to like $56,000.
Congratulations to Charlie Clawson for the birth of his daughter.
Oh, yeah. Also for being the voice and face of the Royal Melbourne Show.
That's right.
Two things he should be congratulated for.
And Gemma also.
Yes.
He carried the baby and birthed it.
I mean, I guess that also, yes. That's good for
They're
you.
They're great people.
Mm. Yeah. I'm sending you a care package. It's a Bertie Beetle show bag, but the most expensive one. It's got two Phantom comics in it.
He gets them for free. He's the face of.
It's pretty incredible.
Your gift is hollow.
Also, I'm pretty sure I saw a man die at the Royal Melbourne Show.
You want to get into that?
No.
Come on.
Maybe I'll save it for Don't You Know Who I Am.
Okay. You're telling me that after the show,
I'll tell you after the show.
After we go to the show and we look at the body.
That's right.
Nobody swept that up. It's still
about
there.
That. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening and subscribing, telling a friend, you're leaving us a nice review, James.
I've got one. You know I do.
That's excellent.
It's from Holla323. It says, "Hey, got me. I can't believe Tom Holland takes time away from his chimney sweep business in dreary old London to be on the Weekly Planet. I must listen for news since Mason's dad is the head of Disney." That's true. So they have so many hot scoops and with shots of poop. Yeah. So yeah, a 5-star review super helps. You can do it in app. Do it in app.
Yeah. Incredible. Let's see. If you want to get a hold of us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. You are Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
Everywhere.
Fantastic. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can see all the shows on the Planet Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm. You can sign up to the newsletter, which is great. Comes out every week.
You want to know what's going on? They know what's going
on. That's right. You can follow at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. That is Rob Collings, creator of said newsletter.
Correct.
You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, which I've forgotten about the last couple of weeks. But if you want to have some very civil, very fun conversations about pop culture stuff.
We're going to have some hot times.
Get on there. Hot times. Maybe we'll start a new rude section.
Oh, I don't know about
Weekly
that.
Weekly Planet Mason. Rude Edition. Yeah. I think we probably should.
Let's pile it onto Levin's workload.
Let's do it. if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. If you'd like to chuck in a buck, we would definitely appreciate
Super
that.
Super helpful.
You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description and buy some things.
Super helpful.
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
Super helpful.
Super helpful. They, maybe we'll call on one of them for a new theme.
Super helpful.
Clean version. You can get t-shirts on tpublic.com. Just search for The Weekly Planet. You'll find them. We love seeing them in the wild. I wonder if there was any at PAX this time around.
We didn't go.
That's true. But if you were out there, if you were at PAX and you had that Weekly Planet shirt, let us know.
We didn't see it.
We didn't see it, but we could see it if you took a photo on the day.
Then we'd know.
We'd know.
Mm. That's it. Next week, Zombieland 2 Double Tap.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm excited for that.
Also, we're doing a Zombieland thing this week for Caravan of Garbage. Spoiler alert. The pilot episode that they made for
the TV series. Yeah, cool.
It's coming up Tuesday. It'll be earlier on Patreon, hopefully.
Very good.
That's the show. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
I hope so.
Yes.
Abby McBeal, what were you thinking, Mason?
No. Weekly Planet Crying Edition, starring me.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.